Well, let's pray.
Lord,
thank you for the morning and the beautiful morning you've given us, and looking forward to the entire day. And but in particular, the next hour here, Lord, as we talk about spiritual gifts, Lord, we again invite you to teach through your word, by your spirit, and then cause us to sharpen iron together as we encourage each other with this particular topic, Lord, really to serve others, which is your calling with spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, help us and to do that. But as we leave, Lord, then we'd have a better understanding about using our spiritual gifts and be prodded in that direction, Lord. And as we do, we thank you for spiritual gifts, Lord. And we've been the beneficiary of them from other folks, as well as the opportunity to come alongside you and use them that you give us. So help us, Lord. That's why we pray and depend on you to do that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, what I'd like to do first is go to the board here. And I know, my mother, you've been through shape, right? And Christy, have you been through the shape class? Matt, have you been through it?
Several years.
That's what I thought. Wade, have you been through it? Okay. Well, let me explain a little bit about the shape class. First of all, shape comes from the acronym, and I'll just fill this in real quick. The first one is spiritual gifts. All right. And the next one is heart or passion, abilities, and then personality, and then experiences. But I think probably the best way to, let me just, if I might read to you here for just a second, a couple pages. And right now, as far as Sunday school classes, we've got the membership class is a 12-week class, but inside that is really 6 weeks of membership with Pastor Kevin teaching. And then Teresa and I teach the shape, which used to be something outside of Sunday school, Saturdays, special Sundays, and so forth. But then we'll spend 4 weeks, what we used to do in 2 weeks, we spend in four talking about shape. And then the last two, making 12 total weeks of the quarter, is the kids safe stuff, which prepares folks to be able to work with children around here. And but with shape, in a nutshell, it says here, and we talk it more extensive, so your ministry is determined by your makeup. What God made you to be determines what he intends for you to do. You will understand the purpose for which God created when you understand the kind of person you are. And we just dig into that. And it says the results come from discovering the ministry for which God uniquely shaped you. And when that happens, first of all, you'll be more fruitful or more effective in serving others around here as well as other places, as well as you'll receive more joy when you're in the area where God would want you and has designed, uniquely designed you to be. You discover your unique design, your shape for ministry, and commit to developing using those spiritual gifts, passions and abilities and personality and experiences. Now, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts today, and we don't want to confuse those with, particularly with abilities, but I think you can see how each of those might play into, hey, Matt does so-and-so around here, and you can see if you've been around Matt long enough, he's got some, he's well-shaped for that. And And we're all unique. There's no right or wrong, better or worse shape, just like with spiritual gifts. And in a nutshell, that's what shape is about. We'll get into spiritual gifts here. Again, not to be confused with abilities. Sometimes that happens. And that being said, let me just kind of explain a little bit more. Spiritual gifts are what, you know, God gifted you when you were born again. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. Your heart or your passions are just those things that you enjoy doing. And not that all these aren't tied up, but then your abilities would be your natural talents and skills. Again, they're given by God, obviously, but they're not given at the same time as spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are given to build up the church. I think that's the first paragraph in there, and we'll talk more about that. Then your personality, how you're uniquely personal, what is your personality, how is it best suit to serve? And then experiences. What has God had you do for me, the last 60-some years that allow me to do or best suit me for what I'm doing? And as you look back on your lives, you can see some of those things that, some of those experiences he's had you involved with that do the same. So with that being said, let's get into specifically. Does that make sense? Has divided? You know, you see that word shape around here, and I think it's good. And if you get a chance to take that class, you know, even coming in, if you're not in the new members area, you're already a member, and just want to take the shape, you know, come in the last 6 weeks of that quarter. And I don't know, Mom, hopefully she would say it was a worthwhile adventure. Of course, I may now buy you breakfast after church or after church here today too. But we have fun with it. You know, there's some with this. There's some. I don't know. We get into it in a lot of different ways. There's some assessment stuff that kind of helps us. By no means pinpoints say this is where weight ought to be. We would say this is just a tool to help. And really, and I think it speaks to it, that really at the bottom here, on page 77, the Bible does not explicitly explain how to determine one's spiritual giftedness. This just helps. This just helps maybe get started. However, you can begin by being obedient in the areas mentioned above. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But look for open doors and pray for opportunities to serve. Really seek the counsel of other believers. They may be more aware of your spiritual gifts than you are, but then you just got to go serve and find out. And you may be serving someplace that this probably isn't where I ought to be. And I thought this, but you know, I think Pastor Kevin would say, I remember here a year or so ago would talk and speak to that experience is probably the best teacher in this area. But this can help start. And what we do today, I think, can help start here. So, but let's look at it. And I know you've done your homework, and or at least some of it. But let's just talk about some of the things that you've gotten. God gives spiritual gifts to believers for the purpose of ministry within the church. It's where this is believers for spiritually serving other believers. And that's where it might be different than your abilities and personalities. And if I've got the ability to some music ability, for example, I could take that to some other places. And not that it wouldn't be beneficial, and it will be, as Susie Greeter plays the piano here this morning, she's using her abilities, but that's not a spiritual gift. But it's still used by the church. But spiritual gifts are used for the church and by the church. So making that I don't know if that makes sense. There's all kinds of abilities in here, and so many here that are not, so many there that are not in here. But for the purpose of ministry within the church, and it's a good paragraph there. But let's go down to the nature of spiritual gifts, and I think it'd be of great benefit. There's really four major areas where spiritual gifts are talked to in the Bible, and we're going to get into them, particularly three of them as we go. But one of them is in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, one of the first, or one of the major areas. And it's just unique how God puts some of this stuff together. That's 2 Corinthians 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And you're probably familiar with some of these verses, and hopefully if not, you got familiar as you did your homework. But what is a source of spiritual giftedness? And what I'd like us to do, let's just start at verse 4, and we'll work our way down to verse 11, okay? And it'll answer a few questions that you've already answered, but I think it's just a good reread for us, okay? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and these gifts being the manifestation of the Spirit, is given for the common good. And perhaps down in C1, you wrote down common good, different gifts given for the common good. And it says, back to the scripture, to one there is given through the Spirit message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguish between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So your answer to number one under A would have been, what is the source? Yeah. God is, the Holy Spirit is the source. And 1 Corinthians 12, 28, just across the page there, it says, and in the church, God has appointed first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, all those having gifts of healing. So God appointed. So we have to understand that Matt doesn't give Matt gifts, and I don't give myself gifts. It's God that gives us gifts. And we use them, develop those, as it says down here, for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. What did you have for that answer on that one, guys? Not that we need to look up every one of these scriptures, but just compare maybe some answers. Someone have an answer there?
Build up the church.
Yeah. And then in 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11 is another common verse. Did you have something there about to serve others in God's grace in its various forms for His glory? So when I'm in the process of using my gifts, it's not for my glory, but His glory in serving others. And if you've look on our website, and from time to time you'll see it out there, Newcastle's value statement talks about loving God together, learning truth together, sharing life together, and the fourth one is serving others together. And so that's obviously a very key value in finding out how best Scott can serve this body, that my mom can best serve, and all of us can best fit in. The interesting part, and I love it, is if we continue with 1 Corinthians 12, with verse 12, and we'll get into a little more of 1 Corinthians here in just a little bit, but I love, and maybe this is the old coach in me, I was with coaches here the other night, and we were looking at this piece of scripture, and it talks about one body, many parts. But as a particularly as an old basketball coach, how different athletic gifts are used to build up a team. Here it's, the analogy is our body, our physical body, is metaphored as a spiritual body of believers. And we don't need to read all that, but look, check out verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And so forth and so on. So, eye, ear, foot, you name it.
I'm going to say mouth.
Mouth. I'm not even sure if they, hand. But it is just a unique, and we'll look at, you know, later a little bit more of that here. But to build and for the common, build up the church for the common good. And so as we get into these gifts, I think we do a great injustice if we start maybe even more thinking about, well, what gifts do I have and what gifts do I have? And there's a place for that. But if we miss the reason, and even, you guys know what 1 Corinthians 13 chapter is. We'll get into that in just a second. It's a love chapter. So we get all this 1 Corinthians 12 about gifts, and then right, boom, here comes Paul with, we're supposed to do this in love. And so, you know, Matt taught on the church last week. This is just really the church in action. In so many ways, and but you know, I just want to just kind of, as before we get into some of these, just kind of highlight with that. But and I don't want to the spiritual gifts listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, actually with spiritual gifts that Newcastle would talk about in shape. You could also go to 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, probably the four major areas. But with MacArthur's church, he sees some of what we would at Newcastle would call gifts, and even in here gifts, as more of appointments. I've seen it, and even looking at it a little closer this past week, different theologians think differently on, for example, evangelism, hospitality, and shepherding. You will not see those here, I don't believe anyway. But here in our shape class, you would. And I think Brother B and Ralph Bauer and Pastor Summers, primarily the ones that initially put this together, and it's been reworked so even since Pastor Kevin's been here. But, you know, I don't, that doesn't bother me that there's some differences in how that's interpreted. So don't, we're going to get into some of that here in just a second, but I, if you wrote those gifts down and some of them are repeated, that's fine, but let's talk about each one of them. That's what I would really like to get into with B and C. First of all, temporary gifts, miracles, healing, tongues and interpretation of tongues. And us here at Newcastle would believe that the gifts of miracles, healing, and tongues, along with MacArthur, that these were temporary gifts in the apostolic time after really the first century church. That would not be the case. These would no longer be out there. You know, it says the Holy Spirit gave temporary gifts to confirm the testimony of the apostles and the prophets. And I would just say this, and it was interesting, I don't know if you listened to MacArthur, anybody have a chance to listen to his audio? And because his audio basically speaks to this, it's miracles, healings, and tongues. And he would say the same thing. He has got friends in the ministry that, and he's spoken at their churches that think these are not temporary, that they are present. Now, he doesn't see it that way. Newcastle would not see it that way. And if you're wanting a great study on these, listen to MacArthur. It is a fantastic study. And reasons, he gets into it for an hour. It is a very good study. I would say this, and there's a little bit here about miracles. Gift is the ability to do wonders and signs. Christ performed many miracles, as recorded in Scripture. Paul used this gift to affirm his apostleship. We're talking about affirmation, but if you would allow me, I would just read. I just copied and pasted a little bit off MacArthur's message, and if you get some time, it'd be well worth your reading. And I will tell you, I've got some friends that, you know, one guy that had a lot to do with me coming to the Lord. He's a charismatic guy, and you'll hear that word charismatic movement. And I was meeting with a Methodist pastor here the other day, and what he's got a charismatic buddy, he said, that calls him a Methacostal. So the Pentecostal, he just kind of laughed because his buddy, he thinks of these being temporary as well. But anyway, let me just read a little bit about MacArthur and kind of maybe whet your appetite, if that would be good. It says, but there were also some other gifts that were not designed for edifying the body. Now, edifying and building up the body would be the purpose. If you look down at C, the permanent gifts. The Holy Spirit gave gifts for the building up or the edification of the church. But he says here, but there were also some other gifts, and he's talking about the temporary gifts, that were not designed for edifying the body. They were designed to confirm the word to unbelievers. Whereas these gifts were the permanent gifts primarily used to affirm, build up believers. These, the temporary, to confirm the word to unbelievers. These gifts did not have a design in connection with the church itself, but with unbelievers. They were to confirm the word. For example, and this is interesting, for example, three preachers came to town and all three preached different messages, and you were living in Jesus' time. Whom would you believe? Well, you would be likely to believe the one who performed the miracles. Even as Nicodemus, and that's in John 3, where Nicodemus approached Jesus, wasn't sure who he was, and so he says this, we know that you're a teacher come from God because nobody could do what you do except God be with him. Nobody else can do what you do. That's why I know God's with you. And it was confirming what Jesus' words were. It was obvious that Jesus was from God because there were miracles confirming his testimony. He claimed it, and then he said, if you cannot believe what I say, believe me for the very, what? Works' sake. The confirmation of the claims of Christ was miracles. Miracles were never ends in themselves. They are always signs pointing to his claims. And then he says this. Here's an example of how God used these gifts. They would preach, and their preaching would be confirmed as divine because they did miracles. You go to the first, Acts 3, Acts 5, you know, 3,000 came to the faith, and so forth. Peter's doing some healing, and the church is... Now I don't believe the church today needs this kind of confirmation. The church today does not need confirmation. I can tell you right now, if three people came into town and all three have a different message today, I can tell you immediately who is from God. The standard is not who does miracles. What's the standard? The Bible. Because here is that standard that God has granted to confirm anybody's message. So we got a new preacher in town today, don't we? And is he from God? Is he preaching God? Is this guy the real deal? If he's preaching the word, he's the real deal. He doesn't have to get up on stage and start healing and start speaking in tongues and so forth. And there's a number of other reasons why he gets into this. Let me just finish with this. Healing. What about healing? This is certainly a miraculous gift and its basic indication, 1 Corinthians 12, we just read. As it is listed there as the ability to heal. To another, it says healing. Verse 9. How do you say that now? Do you say that then God doesn't heal the sick? Of course not. God heals the sick. He restores the sick. But there are no people today walking around who at will heal everybody in response to a gift as in the apostolic era. Today, God heals by a sovereign will and in response to prayer. You can find, even if you go in the book of James, and maybe you ought to look at chapter 5 for a moment with me. James instantly was written by before 1 Corinthians. It says in the book of James, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what it says. God shall raise him up. And that word sick there probably has more to do with being spiritually in bad shape rather than physically, as it is used in most of the Bible. But it's God that's doing the healing, not me. I told someone here a couple years ago, we were having a little discussion, I said, hey, if I could heal, I wouldn't be in my office. I'd be over at St. Francis healing. And but I'm going to pray for those because we're called to pray that God would heal. And so I'm definitely not the expert on this, but I'm learning and even learned more as I studied some this week. And I don't know. Does anybody else have any background on some of the charismatic, what would be called the charismatic movement? And again, I've got good friends there, and we've had discussions, and I love them. I love them. And two of them are good friends. Good friends. But we don't see this, the temporary gifts, as the same. Anything to add to that, Matt? Or?
No, not necessarily. I think the biggest perspective I take on it is I have no limit to what God will do or can do. I think to do that is erring in our frail human minds to say God cannot do that or doesn't have the ability to do something. I would say that the way...
And you'll hear MacArthur speak to that too.
The way
Matt.
These gifts are used today are not scripturally sound. They're not used as scripture portrays them being used. Tongues were used for, I think, to the non-believers. Is that correct? Am I got that right? So nowadays you hear tongues being thrown around in churches where believers are at. It's just the biblical principle of how they were used is usually done in error to me. So that's my biggest take on that.
And with tongues back then, it wasn't a language.
Right.
I didn't know the language, but I'm speaking it. But it was heard
and
interpreted by...
What the other said, and you don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't see it used biblically. That's why I would say I would err to the side of, God's capable of anything, but these we believe these have ceased. And I was just looking here in First Thessalonians at the end. You know, here he closes and says, "Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy, but test all things." So, to say someone spoke in tongues, I won't flat out like say no, he didn't. But I would test that. So was it done biblically? And the Bible lays out the standard for how that should look. And if it wasn't done that way, it's not biblical. So anyway, that's kind of the same thing you were saying. But I don't have any expertise to add.
I think
God heals, obviously. I think he heals through different sources at times, not directly through individuals. Look at Errol, basically dead in a hospital bed without a heartbeat for 15 minutes, and he used those doctors to restore his health. But God did that through individuals with medical care. And we had a lot of prayer. I think he answered our prayers, and that's what
now he calls us to pray and pray in faith. And
but that was a God thing. I think even the doctors basically would say that's a miracle. That was out of their control, and God restored him. So
And he continues to do miracles where we're not even We're sold. Yeah. He's doing them right now. And but well, let's look at some of these permanent gifts. And I'm going to go up here as we read through these. One thing that I think is helpful to me anyway is, and we do this, is we identify some folks in Scripture. And my wife, who teaches this, and if we have folks that are have been in church, can identify, she will even identify, you know, not, hey, this person definitely has this gift or this, but she would say, I would think that maybe so-and-so would have this gift, and if someone knows them. But sometimes we can help identify this definition with a person. So what we're going to do here, let's just read through these. And I've got, there's 15 of them. I've got 15 folks here, or groups, and so forth. Some of them are repeated. You can have more than one spiritual gift, and probably do, and you probably bring them together. And again, no wrong or right, better or worse, but they're gifts. And the first one I would say, with prophecy and teaching in the shape class, those are brought together. And if you look at the definitions here, prophecy to preach or tell forth, declare the scriptures, teaching, this is the gift, ability to teach the word of God and help hearers to understand. Pretty much the same thing. And prophecy, when it's talked about as being a gift, is not me for telling the future. And that it's a different kind of prophecy. So understand that. But with that being said, we'll cross these out. Anybody like to take a stab? This one could be a lot of them. But we're going to cross off Apollos there. And a great teacher of the word. And some folks were following Peter, some were following, not Peter, Paul, some were following Apollos. And you know, which one should we follow? And that's either one. They're both teaching. And but I think they were trying to see if they could start a little feud back then. And you know, you're a better teacher than he is, and so forth. But anyway, how about faith? The consistent enabling faith. I like the words, and you can mark them up. I underlined a face that truly believes in God, and a face of overwhelming obstacles. And I like what they said here about MacArthur calls this the gift of prayer, because it is a gift primarily expressed towards God through prayer. But the gift of faith, and we'll get some of these eliminated, but are you familiar with Hebrews 11? It's the hall of faith. Check it out. And it's Hebrews 11, 12 are some of my favorite parts of Scripture. And it goes back in the Old Testament. Probably the one that one guy in there that's highlighted as much as any is Abraham. And I've told the story. I remember coming to church initially here early on, and came out on Sunday night, and pastor was talking about Father Abraham. And taking his son up onto Mount Moriah, and I had a couple little sons at that time, and Abraham, you're going to sacrifice him. And I'm thinking, what's that all about? I'm out of here. but he taught through that well and understood. You know, it was a testing, or really. He knew he would pass that test, and even Isaac did too. He would, you know, but that's another story. But a lot of others talks about those that were sawed in two, those martyrs, and some that didn't see, but just simply lived by faith, didn't see the results of their faith and so forth. It's great, great chapter. All right. So we've got wisdom, and I think the key word there is applying knowledge, spiritual insight to believers, applied knowledge at the end of that. Who would we throw in here, guys? The wisest man in the world, at least at his time? Solomon. Yeah. Remember the story of two mothers? and one child. One mother had a child, the other one wanted that child, claimed it was his or hers. And this is one of first, I mean, David just turned the throne over. And so Solomon says, well, how are we going to make a decision here? I don't know you and I don't know you, but I got one baby. Which one is it? Man, that's a tough one. So he says, well, bring that baby here and we'll just cut him in half and let you divide him. And all of a sudden the one mother, don't do that. You can't kill that baby. I think you're the mother. Great story. Great story. And but anyway, what do we have next? Knowledge, understanding the facts of Scripture, enjoy studying it, want to go broad and deep. And I've got a son that has a gift of knowledge. I think he's going to be a college student for the rest of his life, either that or teaching in college for the rest of his life. And but let's put Daniel on that one. Daniel, you could probably be in a lot of these. How about discernment? Ability to tell which things are from the Scripture and which are not. Truth from error. Truth from error serves as protection for the church. We're getting a few eliminated. But discernment, and some of these are very similar or very close, aren't they? Put Peter there. Are you familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Check it out sometime. And we were just talking about that with coaches and here the other day. Ananias and Sapphira had sold all their things as the first church, and or said they had sold all their things, told the church that they had sold all their things. And Peter said, I don't think you have, and used very good discernment in that. Obviously, God's got great discernment because he knew they were lying as well, and they both end up dead. And supernaturally, or God said, you're hurting this church, and took them out. Not that everybody that is dishonest dies, but I think God was making a point, and Peter was the one that was shepherding through that. By the way, I think mercy speaks to me because we just had a lesson on mercy from the pulpit here, but if I do not have the gift of mercy, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to be unmerciful. And just like if I don't have the gift of evangelism, that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to evangelize. And I may not have a gift of teaching, but I've got some kids at home that need teaching, for example. We're all supposed to have faith. I mean, these are unique gifts, but that doesn't mean if Matt doesn't have this gift, he's not to be a man of faith. And but mercy, then, is the ability to show deep compassion. And we'll put Jesus and Barnabas there. Barnabas probably known more for his gift of exhortation or encouragement. And so you want to write the word encouragement there. You can put that there. The ability to encourage and motivate. Giving. And that would be, if we get some eliminated, but we want to take a stab at that one. These churches in 2 Corinthians were giving, and that giving would be taken to Jerusalem where the church was starving. And you can read about that in 2 Corinthians. But it's interesting. And I remember Brother B, Pastor would teach the same thing. Many times those with the gift of giving, in fact, they would say from what we've seen, most of the time, the people with the gift of giving are not real wealthy people. And it's an interesting, Brother B's been, I don't know if you know Brother B, but he's been around a while, and Pastor Summers, not quite as long, but they've seen a lot of giving, and I've seen a lot of the gift of giving, and it's interesting insight. Now, in the SHAPE class, we divide administration and leadership. administration, you don't have it quite this way down here, but administration organize and manage people, resources, time to coordinate details and carry out plans, as what it would say in the SHAPE class. All right? And the person that did that for 40 days to build the wall, rebuild the wall, was old Nehemiah. And that's a great story of administration as well as leadership. Whereas specifically with leadership in the SHAPE book, it has it defined as casting vision, influence, motivate, directing people to harmoniously accomplish God's will. And here we would probably go with Moses. And if there's a little bit of difference, you can probably hear that in a little bit. Helps, that would be the guy that helped Paul and Barnabas. He said in Acts 12, I believe, that John was with them as their helper. John Mark, we all know as Mark in the book of Mark. Okay. Service, gift of service, working for the body of Christ in areas of physical ministry, practical task is a big emphasis in the SHAPE class, such as serving food or performing maintenance. The office of deacon was established early on in the church. Deacon means serving. And then, not on there, if you want to write these down, you can. And again, MacArthur would not see these necessarily. But evangelism, they have the unique capacity to effectively communicate the gospel to unbelievers. So when they respond in faith. And obviously God's right in the middle of that. And this would be Philip in the Ethiopian. Great story. Philip comes along the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian will help me to understand this, and he led him to the Lord. And by the way, Philip was a deacon, so you can have the gift of service and the gift of evangelism at the same time, but it's a great story. Hospitality, making other people, especially strangers, feel warmly welcomed, accepted, and comfortable. Or as I heard a preacher say, making someone feel at home when you at making someone feel at home when you really wish they were. Well, I don't know. Probably not the best way to define hospitality, but that would be a very hospitable person. And here we have, is it Martha or Mary? It is Martha. With Jesus, and Martha is preparing everything and getting upset with Mary because she is just worshiping the Lord, and but she had the gift of hospitality. And then shepherding, feeding, caring for, nurturing, protecting, and guiding God's children towards increased spiritual maturity. And there we have Timothy was a pastor, Barnabas as well with that gift. How's that work for us? Don't have to answer this question, but do you see some of those that touch in your heart already? And you haven't even been through SHAPE class, which the assessment, but well, let's do this. The next page, exercising spiritual gifts. Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12, guys. Again, one of those spots, but great piece of God's Word. And Wade, you want to read 6 through 8? By the way, before he reads this, let me just read 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. It's your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, and you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We'll get into God's will later, and so forth. And then it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. My old high school principal, one of his favorite verses, and rather think of yourself with sober judgment, of course, a measure of faith, and so forth and so on. But do it, Wade.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, and serving the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortations, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Yeah. What did we just read, guys? State the principle expressed there. Did you write anything down? What do you see there?
We are to use the gifts that we were given.
Yeah. I don't like that theologian named Nike, but he said, just do it. But anyway, we're supposed to use them, aren't we, Wade? Use them well. Use them well. If it's teaching, go teach. If it's encouraging, go encourage. And so forth. Yeah, exactly. And we've got different gifts, but what you are given, go do them. Yeah. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. That was right after we read a good portion of 1 Corinthians 12, didn't we? One that some of you may have had read at your weddings. And I've read it, I believe, at my sister's wedding. Am I right, Grandma? I think so.
I think I did.
Yeah. But let's read it. It is fascinating. And God puts this right after he speaks to the gifts of the church and building up the church. Anybody want to read 13, 1 through 7? I'll let you go.
If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
Oh, man, is that crazy or what? Can you imagine a gonging? I mean, what if the drummer here in just a few minutes, all he did was boom, but all the way through the... I'm giving a great message, but it's sounding like gong, 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 because I'm not giving it in love. You know, I'm up there in the pulpit, and you know what, you sinners out there, I hope you go to hell. You know, and great love and great loving message, and it's like boom, boom, boom. And
our first trip to Trinidad, and the pastor was up there talking and said, how many here, raise your hand if you want to go to heaven tonight. The rest of you can go to hell. That's what he said. Okay. That's not really love. That's sort of the same example. In a real life experience.
Yeah.
More like a clanging tongue.
Yeah. Go ahead here, Matt.
If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Yeah.
It starts with love never ends.
Yep. 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But they had you write down, and hopefully you got some things written down there. The only question that when I look through this list is, how you doing, Scott? How you doing? Which one are you struggling with? And I would say the not proud and the not self-seeking, probably the top of my list. I continue to need work on. I like to keep records of wrongs too. You know? And you remember Teresa a couple days ago? I'm really an encourager, builder up of the body, aren't I? I can't even build my wife up. But then I'm hanging on to that one. But it's a challenging list, isn't it? But anyway, great, great list. Yeah. C says, 1 Corinthians 12:25, what should your attitude be using of these gifts? That's just right there as well. And I love this verse as well. Anybody want to read 12:25 just across the page there? Go ahead if you got it.
That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another.
Yeah. Go ahead with 26 then as well. I like that added on there.
If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Yeah, yeah. That's some sweet stuff there. We have equal concern for each other. And one part suffers, every part, you deserve it. You deserve your suffering. Or if one part is honored, well, how come I'm not getting honored? And that's not what it says. Again, a great verse for coaches trying to bring a team together, or us with the family, or us with a body of believers, and so forth. Just sweet stuff. And we finish with, let's just finish with Ephesians 4. And haven't been there yet. Ephesians 4, a great piece of scripture too about the church. Anybody want to read that?
He himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness.
Yeah, with that initially, Matt, before we read on, to prepare God's people for the works of service. And I think so many times, hey, we want pastors and the people that work here, serve me. But their job is to prepare us for the works of service. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Just out of that real quick, you know, the old discovery motto was all to maturity, some to leadership, and that's right there. It's until we all reach unity in faith and knowledge. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part.
Yeah. And the question here is, what causes the growth of the body? Did you write some answers down on that one? What do you got if you wrote something down?
When each part works properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Each part working properly. What else do you have? Something?
I just wrote love fits everything together.
Yeah. Yeah, in love, build itself up in love as each does its part. Yeah, speaking the truth in love. We're supposed to love, but we're supposed to speak the truth. And I think many times we want to speak the truth. You know why? Because you need the truth. That was loving too, wasn't it? A verse I think is good to memorize and just keep before you. Speaking, I need to speak the truth in love. But anyway, it's good. that next part in application really just simply talks, each member of the body is commanded to minister in many of the gifted areas, whether he possesses that particular gift or not. And we kind of talked about that, even though, you know, Matt's gift may not be faith, but there probably going to come a time where he needs to minister to someone in faith that's struggling.
Yeah, I think the Lord gifts at times is needed as well.
That's good.
I think we all have spiritual gifts that we sort of excel in a sense. But I think the Lord can gift in any circumstance as needed as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Well, we better get to second service, folks, and miss you again next week, but we'll get again the September 1st. Matt, you want to close us out here, brother?
Father, again, thank you just for some time to gather here, to dig into your word as we looked at the spiritual gifts in particular today. We're thankful for this church and the body you've given and those you've brought in to serve for your kingdom purpose. So, Father, may we use our gifts for that, for your glory, and your glory alone. So we give you the rest of this day. I just pray for safety as we and a group of us will travel here pretty quickly after church to Nashville, and for safety on the road, that you would just watch over us. And Father, I just pray for the speakers that we'll hear, that you'll just use them to teach us the next few days as well. We just ask that your hand would continue to guide this church, and that we would seek your will in every aspect of how that board looks and operates here. We just pray that now. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. And gals.